94.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
3, 2, 1.
Boom. Contact established.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Number two, Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check them out today for all your security needs. Home business doesn't matter. Blue Ridge going to hook you up. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Right before we came on the air today, I also saw this story. Did you see the Tim Tebow goes to Charleston? Did you see what they did, the River Dogs? They treated him like garbage at the River Dog Stadium for no reason to me.
Why would people in Charleston hate Tim Tebow? Why do you hate Tim Tebow?
I don't understand
people
why anybody
who
hates
Tim
him.
Tebow. I don't understand.
I don't get that. I don't understand why the guy who's packing out your ballpark every night, where you're ripping him at every turn. We got to go over that. At some point today, we'll go over that.
Well, and I saw he was in Greenville as well.
He was, and you know what? They set attendance records. And you know what they didn't do?
Of course they
did. Rip Tim Tebow. And I'm going to rip the guy who's filling your stadium.
I mean, I get, you know, maybe if Seminole fans still don't love him, you know, or LSU fans, teams he beat when he was in the SEC. First of all, this was 10 years ago, right? I mean, he graduated in 09, so you could say 8, 9, 10 years ago. And secondly, I mean, he's playing baseball. It's fun. It's a spectacle, but there's no reason to bash the guy. I've never understood the Tebow haters.
Wait till you see what happened. Wait till you see what he did. What the team did, as far as that's concerned. This hour of the program is brought to you by Locomar. We'll go to the phones before we get to Stockwatch. Marathon is fueling the American spirit at Locomar. What an outrageous idea to put a gas station right there off of 123 across from Bojangles on Highway 93. That gives you the best gas for the best price. They give you friendly staff, the best selection of food and drinks. It's convenience at a convenience store. You know, there's such a thing as too much convenience. People don't want to hear that. I really like the idea of proper level of convenience. That's where we'll go with that. Proper level of convenience, where you don't get lost, you know, through the aisles. You know what you want. You go in there, you find it real quick, you pay, you get out of there. That's what I want in a convenience store. A lot of times, that's what you need. You don't need to sit, you know, figure out where something is like you're in a grocery store for 5 minutes just searching for whatever it is you're looking for. They got craft beer available there. Open late for you crazy kids out at all hours of the night. Marathon Fuel and the American Spirit at Locomart across the Bojangles on Highway 93 off of 123 in Clemson. They hung up. 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627. You want to get on the phones today. The Northland Communication phone lines, 986-1566. The text line's open. 986-1566 on the text line. At Qualk Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar. Hit us up on any of those avenues as well.
Okay, I just saw this Charleston River Dog stuff.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to address this in Stockwatch?
No.
When do you want to address this? Because it's outrageous.
Let's do it after Stockwatch.
Okay.
We'll do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. It's a post-vacay. That means we're revved up and ready to go for a little Stockwatch.
Who's got worth this week? It's time for the Stock Watch on Out of Bounds.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it.
Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Roller coaster, ups and downs, you know that.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Out of Bounds Stockwatch brought to you by Monahan Company Real Estate, celebrating 10 years in business, serving Clemson in the Tri-County area. Like them on Facebook or stop by their office at 422 College Avenue. Call Monahan Company Real Estate at 639-1188. We'll begin with this. Stock up to Jesse Palmer, your boy. Jesse is back at ESPN, but he will not be calling games where people hate him. He will be in the studio where people will hate him less. Jesse Palmer apparently being courted by Fox, being courted by others, staying at ESPN, signing a multi-year deal to go back to the studio where he was with the late John Saunders for some time. I feel like that's going to be a better fit for him than the broadcast booth where he no longer will tell us that teams' defensive players need to pin their ears back 40 times and talk about how great the SEC is during a Tuesday night MAC game.
It's fascinating to me that ESPN laid off so many people and Jesse Palmer was one that they were fighting to keep. It just seems odd.
He's a well-respected. He doesn't give you a whole lot, but he's also not going to hurt you. And there's some value in that.
Well, and he's gotten bigger. You know, he's been on Good Morning America, been a special contributor and all that. I would imagine at some point he just leaves sports TV for lack of a better term, real TV, for something like Good Morning America, that kind of thing. I feel like that's kind of where his career is headed.
Like Michael Strahan, yes, like
exactly.
Josh Elliott.
Exactly.
I mean, others have done this, and it seems like he's trying to navigate that. Stock up to him. Stock down to Joe Buck. Boy, Fox just can't get out of its own way. Every year, I give Fox a chance. I feel like most people don't. Fox is terrible at golf. They can't cover it. They never cover it. They do it once a year. They don't have other tournaments. They're not doing a whole bunch of golf. And so this one week every year, they're just seen with skepticism. So they already have an uphill climb ahead of them. And yet, when things like this happen, it sort of creates, it feeds into that narrative, shall we say. Joe Buck definitely called Brooks Koepka's girlfriend, Jenna Sims, Becky Edwards, who is Brooke Koepka's ex. And it took him a little while to correct it. The backlash was severe on social media as people laughed at Joe Buck. Because basically for four straight days, people are waiting on the folks at Fox to make grave mistakes in broadcasting this thing. I'll be interested to see what the media watchdogs and the analysts out there say about Fox's coverage. I didn't think it was terrible. It certainly was better than some of the others that they've done in years past.
I think this is funny, no doubt. But, I mean, is it really that big of a deal that Joe Buck doesn't know who Brooks Koepka's current girlfriend is?
No. No.
You know, I mean, I don't really think we need to know that. I don't think that Joe Buck really cares, or that was part of his prep.
The video is funny, though. The video...
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious.
It has the Becky Edwards, and then it has the, Joe, that's actually his new girlfriend.
Can you imagine Becky Edwards watching this, just thinking, oh my gosh. First of all, I mean...
Her phone's blowing up.
Right, right. Her Twitter has not stopped. Let's put it that way.
Why is it so important? Again, maybe it is. Why is it so important who they're kissing? If they're not married, and
I mean,
why is it so important?
You want to get it right. I get that. But I don't really blame Joe Buck for not being completely up to date on Brooks Koepka's love life.
And that's his girlfriend. It kind of feels like it's enough, right?
Sure.
Okay. Stock up to Nolan Arenado. This is from the Colorado Rockies. Arenado had quite the day yesterday in a Rockies victory over the San Francisco Giants. He hit for the cycle, and the final hit was a walk-off bomb, a three-run bomb, in the bottom of the ninth. The triple is the hardest one to get, but when you're playing in Denver, you can get some triples sometimes at Coors Field. Arenado, first pitch he saw from Mark Melanson, whack, into the left field bleachers. And the Rockies now have beaten the Giants 9 consecutive games. The Giants are pretty terrible. For the first time in a while, they are pretty awful. But Melanson has been good. That's only his second loss of the season. And he touched home plate with a chance of MVP. Nolan Arenado, one of the greatest moments, he said, of his career. Fifth player in Major League history to complete the cycle by hitting a game-winning inning home run. The last time it happened, Carlos Gonzalez did it for the Rockies on July 31st, 2010, against the Cubbies.
I wish I would have wrote down the division leaders before we left for vacation, but I'm pretty sure only one has changed.
Let's see.
The Twins are no longer leading the AL Central.
By the way, stock down to the Giants because they're terrible, and we just said it. They stink. Their offense stinks.
Ooh.
They can't pitch. Cueto and Samardzija can't pitch.
When's the last time the Giants were dead last in the NL West?
It's been a while. The Padres and Giants are way behind everybody else. To the Padres' credit, they did play the Reds last week, which the Reds are currently team-free win because they have no competent starting pitchers in a rotation currently.
Well, when I left, the Reds were in last place, and when I came back, they're in last place.
They were in fourth. They were in fourth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When we left. But only by a half game.
When
now
I left,
they're in last.
My Stros were in first, and when I came back, my Stros are still in first.
They're still in first by 11 games. Like, half the divisions are decided. The Astros division decided. The Nats decided. Rockies, Diamondbacks, Dodgers is the race to watch. The Cubs aren't making up any ground on the Brewers. Their rotation ERA is not very good. The one that you got to really monitor right now is the Red Sox are playing a little bit better ball, and the Yankees have lost six in a row. They do get Chapman back, but if you can't get to Chapman, he doesn't matter all that much. That's one thing. Yeah, they were fine with Betances in the back, but every time somebody steps up, they're being replaced by a lesser guy. So the bullpen gave up a couple leads in there, and the starting rotation's not been very good.
One baseball thing that did happen when we were gone that is important is your Northwest Arkansas Naturals won their division in AA ball, led by closer Sam Selman, who made the All-Star team.
Very nice.
In the Texas League.
Congrats.
I know.
The Texas League.
That's my cousin.
Arkansas's got a team in the Texas League?
I know. It makes
sense,
right? That's interesting. And they play Tulsa. They beat Tulsa. Like, it just doesn't make sense. You know Texas controls most of that
course,
area.
Of course. Sometimes you got to cross the border and play some games.
Yeah.
Stock up to Paul George. He gets what he wants. He gets what he wants now.
Yep.
He gets a chance to play for a title before he goes and gets to be the man. He's basically going to, in my opinion, he's going to try to win a ring this year before he goes to the Lakers and tries to be a man. It is a mistake, in my estimation, for the Lakers to act like he's going to be their savior, leading them to greatness. He's not. He's not a number one. He doesn't have the mentality for it. He just doesn't. There are so many things that happen in Indiana that led me to believe he's not the guy to lead you to a championship. On the other hand, he's not a good fit for Cleveland, who somehow wants him. How is Paul George different from LeBron James? How do they complement each other?
He's not as good.
How do they complement? How do they help? Like, Kevin Durant helps the Warriors.
Right.
Because it allows people to do what they're best at. How does Paul George help the Cavaliers players be better?
We also doubted Durant's ability to help the Warriors when he first went there. We thought they're adding another shooter. Now, we've seen LeBron do well when he has a point guard, more of a point guard slasher type player, like a Kyrie or Dwayne Wade, and then a stretch four guy who can help him on the boards and hit threes with Chris Bosh or Kevin Love. Paul George isn't either of those. Paul George is he's just a lesser LeBron James.
He is.
I mean, he shoots the ball a little better, but I have two Paul George related questions,
okay?
Real quick.
Okay.
One, I want you to tell me where you think he will play basketball in 2017-18. And two, is Paul George pre-broken leg a number one? Has the broken leg had that much of an effect on him?
I don't know, because he really never had a chance to be the guy himself.
He was the guy in Indiana, though.
He was, but he wasn't, like, in charge. He was still sort of a young guy, and so a lot of the leadership went to players like David West and George Hill, like older players in there. That's interesting. I don't think so. I don't think he has the mentality for it.
The leadership.
Me and my dad had a conversation yesterday pointing out the ways in which we think Paul George showed us that he's not a number one.
Okay, but where will he play basketball this year?
I think he will play for the Cavaliers.
Really?
I think he will, even if they have to do a three-team trade to make it happen. I think he should play for the Clippers or the Celtics. Yes.
Or the Celtics.
Yes. I think the Clippers can make a desperate play here.
Will the Cavs get rid of K-Love then? They're going to have to.
They're going to have to. They can't possibly. I mean, LeBron wants what LeBron wants.
Sure.
If he wants Kevin Love, they're going to keep him. If he doesn't, they're going to have Paul George.
This is going to be fascinating to watch, the offseason.
Stock down to the Lakers, because they're just going to wait this one out till 2018. There is risk involved there, especially if he goes to the Clippers. I think that would be the most fascinating one. That would be the one to make people talk all offseason about Paul George. Because what does Paul George want? He wants to go to the Lakers, but more than that, he just wants to go to L.A.
He wants to be in L.A.
So if the Clippers actually compete with the Warriors with Paul, you add Paul George to Chris Paul and that cast of characters, bring him back. If you add Paul George, I think it's at least somewhat likely that Chris Paul signs back. We think he's going to San Antonio. Now he may stay in L.A. if the roster upgrades to that level. Maybe you get rid of Blake Griffin, but you draft very well. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting scenario. Could he do what he wants to do with the Lakers, with the Clippers, and stay there?
Does Blake Griffin want to stay if they bring in Paul George? I mean, there's so many questions. George could upset the apple cart in a lot of ways in the NBA.
It's an outrageous scenario, and I love it. But stock down to them, because they're going to wait it out, and it could be right. They don't really want to give up a bunch of their young pieces or draft picks because they want to build around him. But at the same time, you're also taking the chance that he doesn't fall in love with Cleveland or Boston or the Clippers or somebody else in the next year.
I mean, you've been terrible for what? 4 or 5 years? Might as well stay terrible if you're the Lakers.
May as well.
You know, I mean, the status quo is what it is right now, so you can afford to wait at least a couple more years as long as your fans think you have a plan.
Correct. Absolutely. Stock up to the Titans. They added Eric Decker. The Titans are now the favorite in the AFC South, in my opinion. They're very good. That division got much better. The Colts made some good moves. The Texans obviously have gotten better. And now the Titans with Mariota, they give him another frisbee-catching dog out there and a good one in Eric Decker. I feel like this division could be a lot better than it was last year.
Well, I mean, to be fair, your niece Harper could be the favorite in the AFC South because that division is terrible.
Not this year.
It's getting better. And I actually saw a headline which really interested me. It said, could the Titans be this year's Cowboys? If Mariota's healthy, 100% healthy, and continues to make strides, you bring in a lot of weapons for him, could be very, very interesting.
Did you know that Jesse James is his wife? Eric Decker's wife?
Yeah.
He lives in Nashville or right outside it, I think, with her.
But who really is she? I'm not quite sure who she is.
Country music? Isn't she country music?
Is she?
I think. I don't know.
If she really was, I would know. You know what I mean?
I feel like I have some Jesse James songs. Stand by for
great
that
name.
Coming up later.
Great name to be a country
Jesse
singer.
James, correct. Stock up to the Titans. Stock down to the Texans because the Titans are stealing their thunder. Getting Deshaun Watson, making some of the upgrades they did. The Texans were the talk of the division. Now, all of a sudden, at least for right now, the Titans are the talk. And then you've got Nuke Hopkins coming out saying that Tom Savage has earned the right to be the starter. Now, that's fine and probably what he has to do. But if you're a fan of the Texans, you do not want to hear anyone throw their weight behind Tom Savage. That is boring. That is milquetoast. That is 9-7, 8-8. That is exactly what you got last year. The exciting thing is to throw weight behind Watson or throw weight behind nobody at all.
I think Nuke is just trying to uphold the status quo. I think not trying to stir the pot. He's saying what he's supposed to say. And in the end, we know Tom Savage will start week one for the Houston Texans. That's what's going to happen.
Probably.
Now, what happens after that is up to Deshaun and up to Tom Savage to a certain extent.
Stock up to Diana Taurasi.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to mention
this. Did you think I was going to get there?
I thought you would probably mention her at some point.
Man, oh man. Diana Taurasi, now the all-time scoring leader in the WNBA. Is that a big deal?
She is. I don't know if I can go as far to say she's the greatest women's basketball player of all time, but she is the greatest scorer in women's basketball history.
Is she the greatest player? Because there are other great players that didn't play in the WNBA era. Is she the greatest player in the WNBA era?
Probably, yeah, because of her longevity. I mean, I still kind of side with Cheryl Swoops, mainly because I loved watching her play as a kid. But then you also have Cheryl Miller in there. You know, I mean, Lisa Leslie was dominant. You could go a lot of different ways. But to say she's the greatest, I don't really have a problem with that. She's the greatest scorer that I've ever seen.
All-time best point guard?
She's not really a point guard, though.
Because she played a point on a team with Cheryl Swoops and Lisa Leslie.
That'd be a crazy team.
Rebecca Lobo and Cheryl Miller.
She could play the point on that team.
Look out. Good for her. Good stuff. Stock down to Bo Wallace, your boy. Arrested for DUI last night. You saw the defense. Everyone's defense is the Tiger Woods defense. Oh, he took some prescription drugs. Now, that's going to be the new thing. Every time somebody gets popped for DUI, that's going to be the first defense. Because now for like 6 months, that's what we're going to hear. Oh, he took the wrong combination of prescription. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm going to be skeptical of every single one of these because it's the easiest defense in the world to say he was taking drugs. And it just made him take his shirt off before that mugshot.
He took one too many Advil, had a little too much Benadryl, and look what happened. Next thing we know, Baker Mayfield just had one too many Adderall, and that's the reason he was out running the cops.
Yeah, oh yeah. Give me a break with this. Bo Wallace had his shirt off for his mugshot. There's nothing more Mississippi, by the way, than shirtless mugshot on prescription drugs or alcohol on a DUI arrest. There's nothing more Mississippi than that.
Sometimes DUIs are just good old-fashioned DUIs, you know?
So, yeah, sometimes it's really clean as far as DUIs go. And sometimes Bo Wallace takes his shirt off for the picture.
Bo Wallace.
Unbelievable. He wasn't sunburned either.
Go Rebs.
Short break. We'll come back. We'll talk U.S. Open a little bit. Talk a little Clemson baseball when we return, a little college football.
Tim Tebow, we have to get to that discussion.
We do. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds in a moment.
I'm George Jeffries, local GM of Metal Building Supply. As part of Mesco Building Solutions and NCI, we're the Southeast premier supplier of metal building components and pre-engineered building systems. We have an 18,000 square foot facility, and we bring in inventory and special orders every Friday. Call 295-0506 or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont. Whether it's a 30 by 40 for your shop or 100,000 square feet for your business, we have over 40 years of experience to put to work for you.
Now is the best time to increase your business's productivity and reduce costs, because right now you can get 60 meg Spectrum Business Internet for just $39.99 per month. That's over 10 times faster than AT&T 6 meg DSL for less. Add Spectrum Business Voice and get unlimited long distance and advanced calling features for only $29.99 a month per line. And best of all, there are no contracts, no taxes, and no hidden fees. So call 866-371-3555. You'll get faster internet for just $39.99 per month. Advanced voice for only $29.99 a month per line. Over 99.9% network reliability, and no contracts, no taxes, and no hidden fees. So call 866-371-3555 and switch to Spectrum Business today. That's 866-371-3555. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
When you've been in business almost 100 years, you've been doing something right. Since 1917, the key to Harbin Lumber's success has rested on its hardworking employees, people just like you, providing top lumber, building supplies, and contract services. You can be confident in customer service and support you can trust for your project, whether construction or large remodeling jobs. Call 353-5053. Find us on Facebook or online at harbinlumber.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be, well, like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. With its powerful technology, ZipRecruiter distributes your job everywhere it needs to be to find the right candidates. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Used by businesses of all sizes, ZipRecruiter offers the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/score. That's ZipRecruiter.com/score for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/score.
At the Home Depot, we're pouring more into paint. And right now, we're giving more to pros, as in gold status for the week, June 19th through the 25th. We're giving pros 20% off all pro-grade paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Behr and Kilz. Savings like that, you can take to the bank. Literally. Unbelievable quality, unbeatable prices. And for a limited time, gold status for pros at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Must enter Pro Extra phone number at checkout for discount.
There are two things every parent wants when their child goes to college: for their child to do well, and a way to afford it. Now, with Discover Student Loans, parents can have the best of both worlds. Not only do our loans cover up to 100% of school-certified costs with zero fees, but we'll give them a cash reward for each new student loan if they earn at least a 3.0 GPA or equivalent. That means every A in history or B in math could help them earn a cash reward for good grades. Just one of the many ways we treat you like you'd treat you. Apply now in 15 minutes or less at discoverstudentloans.com. Limitations apply.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Okay, good luck with the slow descent into madness.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I'm more than than just an option.
Hey.
Refuse to be forgotten.
Hey.
I took a chance with my heart.
Hey.
And I feel it taking over. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. Better find your loving. I better find your heart.
All right, welcome back. Hour two continues. Out of Bounds. William Quaggan, Miss Kelly Gramlich. Do you know any of these songs from Jesse James? Not Jesse J, as people are suggesting, who is with like Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj on that one song.
Could you give us a little snippet of that song?
Bang, bang into the room.
That song.
Bang, bang. Na, 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 na. Yeah. Jesse J is
not that one. She's British.
Jesse J had some other ones too.
Yeah.
I've got some Jesse J. I thought I had some Jesse James. I didn't. And then I looked at some of her titles and I realized a lot of her titles I have, but sung by other people. Like her best song from 2009 was called Wanted, which I have from Hunter Hayes.
Oh, so she just covers songs?
No. This is probably an actual song that she did. But the titles are the same as other people's songs that were better than hers.
Oh. There's a reason why we don't know who she is.
Lights Down Low.
Let's put it that way.
Didn't, what's it face? Didn't Jason Aldean sing something about turn the lights down low? Isn't that a thing?
I'm pretty sure that phrase is in a lot of country songs. Or just songs in general.
Ah, shoot. I thought I had it. I'm pretty sure it's Aldean. Every one of his songs sounds the same. Let's see. I don't hate Aldean, by the way. Lights, come on. That's what it. Lights, come on, is Jason Aldean.
Complete opposite activities.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Maybe lock the door and turn the lights down low.
That's it. That's what you're talking about. That's what we're talking about right there.
What just happened?
Chase just took some liberties as an intern.
He really did.
He took some liberties there. but that's true. Lights Down Low. That was outstanding. I'm trying to look. Boys in the Summer reached 58 on the U.S. country charts.
All right, Quaggan. Just realize no one knows who this girl is.
I'm just saying, you might have heard her songs, and I know. I certainly don't know who it is.
We know her as Eric Decker's wife.
She's Eric Decker's wife, Jesse James Decker, who is on Twitter as such. Anyway. The Tim Tebow stuff is particularly interesting. Let's get to that. Tim Tebow goes to Charleston. They were shooting people in Myrtle Beach, and they were destroying Tebow in Charleston. What happened on the coast this week? You went to the correct coast, Kelly.
I leave the state, and I don't know what happens.
What happened?
I apologize. I shouldn't leave again.
What they did, I understand poking a little fun. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you poke a little fun at these celebrities that come in. If somebody did this to Jordan or somebody, you know, you poke a little fun. You just, you know, you got these minor league promotions. What I don't understand is like, okay, we're going to have this attraction that brings everybody to the ballpark, and then we're just going to trash him. Like the whole weekend, we're going to trash him. Here is, should I read it from national or local?
This, I found a Washington Post article, which I think is the AP that I think does a great job of highlighting the atrocities that happened to Tim Tebow in Charleston.
Okay, let's do the Washington Post article. Headline, Aaron Torres, the writer. Charleston River Dogs mercilessly troll Tim Tebow. You want to know how big a deal Tim Tebow is? He played a minor league game in Charleston, South Carolina for a team from Columbia, South Carolina, and the Washington Post wrote a story on it.
That's a big deal. And used the words mercilessly trolled, which I like that coming from the Post.
Let's read together, shall we? Let's read this. The River Dogs went all out in typical minor league fashion when Tim Tebow made his first visit to Charleston this past weekend, probably setting records. And I believe, I saw this, that it was the three largest crowds of their season. I think that's correct. Tebow's Columbia Fireflies, a Class A affiliate of the New York Mets, were in town to play the River Dogs, a Class A Yankees farm team, Subway Series, Columbia versus Charleston, throw out the record books, in a three-game series. Tebow, already well-known in those parts because of his days as quarterback at the University of Florida, was mocked from the outset. First.
Well, they're acting like South Carolina fans were really scorned by Tebow in big games and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like these were Florida-Florida State battles or Florida-Alabama, Florida-LSU battles. Okay. I don't think there were really too many massive games between Tebow and the Gamecocks. Just going to put that
out there. I just think it's funny
anyway,
that they...
Anyway, continue.
South Carolina playing meaningful games while Tebow was at Florida.
Broke their hearts when South Carolina was trying to become bowl eligible.
All right. We got to get more serious about this story. First, the Jumbotron play video of Tebow crying on the sideline during Alabama's 32-13 victory over Florida in the SEC Championship in December 2009.
That's savage.
Does that go over the line? It goes over the line to you. That's over the line?
Yes, that's over the line.
Playing that video?
I mean, maybe, okay, for me, maybe if he's playing in Birmingham, a place where you're going to have some Alabama sympathizers,
yes.
Okay, maybe you'd do that. Maybe. But what's the point of doing that in Charleston? And then secondly, I mean, that's you're singling out and attacking a player from the opposing team.
It's a fair point.
It's classless to me.
It doesn't make any sense. Chase, that's got to be over the line.
Yeah, that's very over the line. That's like, you're just over that line.
That's Yeah. That's terrible. Then, it goes on, anytime one of Tebow's Columbia teammates stepped to the plate, the Charleston Jumbotron would identify him as not Tim Tebow.
Okay, now you're getting to the point where you're not even identifying the players for the opposing team just to make this joke.
This is the most outrageous
to me.
The most outrageous to me. You made the whole thing about, first of all, people are at the ballpark to watch Tebow. One of the great things about that is that the players on his team get exposure that they might not otherwise get. If you're a teammate of Tim Tebow, I would not be jealous of him for a moment. I would be thanking God every day when I woke up that Tim Tebow plays on my team, and so massive crowds are going to be at my ballpark. Thousands of fans are going to be at the ballpark whenever I show up, and I've got an opportunity to play in front of people and scouts and whoever else that might be there. That could give me a shot. It gives me a better chance to get noticed. Charleston takes that completely away by putting on the Jumbotron, not Tim Tebow. I hate this so much. This is the one I hate the most.
This one is terrible, but I think the next one I hate the most, personally. They keep going.
Oh, boy.
They keep going.
Chase, you feeling rough about this?
I am feeling very rough about this.
You know, Charleston tweeted out. They're, like, proud of themselves for doing this. We're not sure who is batting, but we're relatively sure it's not at Tim Tebow. They tagged him in on Twitter. They're, like, proud of it. They're, like, high-fiving and patting each other on the back in there.
More like the Charleston petty dogs.
Oh, just wait. Even Charleston's fluffy little dog mascot, Charlie T. River Dog, got into the act. Tebowing on the field and posting a selfie on Twitter of him wearing eye black that included the Bible phrase, John 3:16, a move that angered many of his, meaning Charlie T's, Twitter followers.
This is the one I hate the most. Because you're basically, I mean, yes, you're making fun of Tim Tebow, but you're also making light of, I mean, I know this is taking it a little too far and buying into the everyone's offended situation, but you're making light of scripture with this dog mascot. Make fun of Tim Tebow all you want, but I think you crossed the line a little bit there, too. Are you with me?
I still don't understand. I don't understand the point of doing this. This does not draw people to your ballpark. I can't imagine this is entertaining. Maybe they're playing up the 50% of people or whatever that hate Tebow. Maybe they're playing that up. Either way, people are going to come to your ballpark to see this guy, and you are destroying him legitimately every single opportunity you get.
Tell me this, Kwok. Wouldn't you agree that according to just stereotypes and what we've seen of the Tebow hatred, most people that hate Tim Tebow maybe, you know, I don't know, don't live in the South. I don't understand who lives in the South and hates Tim Tebow. Unless
Georgia fans, Alabama fans.
But no. Listen, they might not like him for what he did. To Georgia, to Alabama, whatever. But for the most part, Tim Tebow is respected and liked in the South, I think. Am I totally off base with that?
A lot of people, let's say you're right.
Let's
say you're right.
Hypothetically.
You know, the demographics of Charleston would indicate that a lot of people do retire there from the North.
Hmm.
They could have a fair amount of people that go to their games that, if that's true, that might hate Tim Tebow.
To me, it seems the main person that hates Tim Tebow here is Charleston's marketing manager. Because all these things, come down to, I mean, putting this on the mascot. Maybe it's the mascot that hates him. Putting stuff on the Jumbotron, playing the crying video. People who make these decisions maybe wanted to troll Tim Tebow. Or, let's be honest, Quack, they wanted to get in the Washington Post, and they did.
Bubba Clemson says this on Twitter, at Quack Dog, at Kelly Graham. Like, you know the Chucktown's promoter is the son of the promoter who started the disco album burn thing in MLB in 1980. That was kind of odd and worked. Maybe this is kind of odd and works too. Maybe it does. Maybe I'm overreacting to this. It feels like a little bit like the River Dogs are biting the hand that's feeding them at this point. Well, I don't appreciate that.
I see that point, but I do think that we're talking about the Charleston River Dogs right now. And we never would be unless they did something outrageous like this.
All publicity, good publicity?
If you're a minor league baseball team, yes.
I guess so.
Because you're just trying to do whatever you can to get some attention. To me, it's a cry for attention. That's what it is. It's a desperate attempt to make the news if you're Charleston, if you're the River Dogs.
Absolutely. It is desperate. I don't know. I just don't know how this gets past the planning stage.
Who approves this?
I don't know how this gets past the planning stage.
Who checks off on this and says, yeah, this is all fine?
Brandon Anderson says this on the text line. As an FSU fan, I hated Tebow while he was at Florida. Now I like him. Think he's a great role model.
That's my point. That is exactly my point. We're almost a decade removed from Tim Tebow carving up the SEC. So, yes, if you're a Georgia fan, you're a Florida State fan, obviously not in the SEC, but if you're one of those fans, you hated him at that moment. But I feel like as of now, you probably don't mind him because he's been a very good role model. You know, he's a generally likable guy, and maybe you've gotten over the time he beat your team 10 years ago. Maybe.
I would hope so. I want to know what the River Dogs' attendance was last week and what it's going to be this week as relative to the weekend that Tebow was there and see if they want to rip that guy.
I'd also like to know the alma mater of the person who made these decisions. Maybe it is Georgia or LSU or something.
Holy smokes. 654 Roar's the number. We'll get to some phone calls when we return. We got some U.S. Open to talk about, a little Clemson baseball, a little college football. We'll try to sprinkle in a little bit of everything as we go forward in the show. NBA draft trade, this trade that's coming up between the Celtics and Sixers, very interesting. Your favorite college player may be going to a different team. We'll discuss that as well. So many topics, so little time. Hour two continues Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Rely on EnviroMulch. They supply quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their spring special, get double ground hardwood mulch for $1 off per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch, go Tigers!
In life, finding quality in anything can sometimes be difficult. Custom Collision would like for you to know that there are still a few places out there where quality matters. You can rest assured that at Custom Collision, not only will you be impressed with the quality of the finished product, but you will experience the quality of service that is unmatched. From taking care of your rental to handling the insurance, Custom Collision is there for you. Custom Collision, when quality counts. 231-6900 or online at CustomCollisionInc.com.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Enjoy a large 32-ounce cup of Bojangles freshly steeped legendary iced tea. Just $1 all summer long. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Complete Nutrition just released the most effective weight loss product we've ever created. Plus, it comes with a free 21-day step-by-step program to follow. And we guarantee you success. If you lose more than 21 pounds in the first 21 days, see Complete Nutrition to adjust your plan. Healthy weight loss should not exceed a couple of pounds per week.
Find Complete Nutrition in Greenville on Woodruff Road, in Spartanburg on East Blackstock Road, and in Anderson across from the Harbor Inn on North Main.
Complete Nutrition.
This weekend, it's the Great American Gun Show at the Anderson Civic Center. Buy, sell, trade. Guns, knives, weapons of all kinds. Bring your guns. Tell your friends. This weekend, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Guns, knives, ammo, holsters, camo, and shooting supplies. Admission $8. Kids 12 and under free with paid adult. Don't miss this gun and knife show at the Anderson Civic Center. 3027 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Anderson, tell your friends to bring their guns. This weekend, be there.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Oh, I'd be a nervous wreck if my daughter just got her license.
You know, Liberty Mutual actually helped me relax a little bit.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, with roadside assistance, Liberty Mutual is there to make sure she won't get stranded.
Don't know what I'd do without it.
Sounds better than the alternative.
Which is?
Keeping her home until she's 30.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
When you've been in business almost 100 years, you've been doing something right. Since 1917, the key to Harbin Lumber's success has rested on its hardworking employees, people just like you, providing top lumber, building supplies, and contract services. You can be confident in customer service and support you can trust for your project, whether construction or large remodeling jobs. Call 353-5053. Find us on Facebook or online at harbinlumber.com.
You owe it to yourself to check out Purple Haze of Anderson in their brand new location. Voted the upstate's best piercing studio, Purple Haze is now at 3440 8 Cinema Avenue in Anderson, next to Dazzlers and behind Grady's. Body jewelry, glassware, tapestries, incense, candles and posters, and award-winning piercing facilities and piercing professionals. Purple Haze, 3448 Cinema Avenue, Anderson, next to Dazzlers and behind Grady's. Look for a new Clemson location coming soon.
Bill collectors, are they calling, making threats? What is the truth? Don't be afraid. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait for them to sue you. Call me, Robert King. I will listen to you, and together we will look for a calm, clear, thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the bankruptcy code.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
If this is some sort of hazing ritual, we're going to end up naked in a river somewhere. I'll need to arrange for a ride home.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a gospel. Lord, I'm still not.
Hour two continues, Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich here on a Monday, June 19, 2017. A lot of good stuff ahead this summer. I'm excited about what we got coming up. We got a lot to talk about with college football moving forward. We're just filing away football topics to make it. We're just trying to make it till September.
I can't wait. Already ready, Quack.
We got a little ACC football kickoff coming up in like 3.5 weeks.
I'm excited to go to that. You and I will be heading up to Charlotte, going to get to interview a bunch of different coaches, interview Coach Sweeney and whatever Clemson players are sent up there as well.
We won't know that till like 2 days beforehand, too.
Who do you think? Who do you think is going to go for Clemson? If you had to pick two players to go, this is a off-the-cuff, you know, surprise topic for you.
Two players. Let's see. On offense.
Let's say you pick one offensive player, one defensive player.
Goodness gracious. Who is your offensive player? Do you take Kelly Bryant? Who else are you taking?
Maybe you take Mitch Hyatt. I don't know. Maybe you take...
I would not take Mitch Hyatt. He's not a great interview. Kelly Bryant's probably not a great interview. Say it again.
Hunter Renfro?
Yeah, take Renfro.
Hunter Renfro.
That'd be nice.
I'll tell you who I'm taking off the defense. I mean, you could take any of those D-line guys. You could take Christian Wilkins. You could take Cleland Farrell. I'm probably taking Kendall Joseph. I think he's going to be the leader of your defense, especially from that linebacker spot. I think you send a message, too, that he is your leader. You bring him to ACC kickoff.
It's either going to be Joseph or Wilkins.
Joseph or Wilkins. And then probably Renfro. Renfro... Deion Kane, Mitch Hyatt? I mean, is there anyone else you think they would take? Maybe Kelly Bryant. Maybe.
Renfro's probably the best choice. That's probably the best. He'll have a million requests.
CJ Fuller?
He's the guy that caught the pass in the...
Right, that's the thing.
In the natty.
Is. But, I mean, we've interviewed Renfro, too. You know, when he gets there, I feel like, for example, Ben Boulware, when he went to the kickoff, he wants the spotlight.
Sure.
I don't think Hunter Renfro really wants the spotlight.
I don't think any of those guys do. Hyatt? KB, hey, none of those guys want it.
Maybe Deion Kane.
Joseph does well. We've had him on before.
He's a very good interview.
And so, Christian Wilkins did a split. He's fine. He'll be fine with the spotlight. Nothing about Christian Wilkins screams scared of the spotlight.
If I had to choose, I think I'd take Renfro and Kendall Joseph.
Dabo will basically hold whoever's water goes. You could put two mannequins in Clemson jerseys and Dabo will talk for all three of them. Let's go to the phones. The Northern Communication phone line, 654-ROAR, 654-7627, the number. We want to get in on the program today. Thomas is up with us next. Hey, Thomas, what's going on?
Hey, first of all, I'd like to say enjoy the show.
Thank you.
All miss Roy, but I appreciate y'all being on in this slot because I will not listen to Jim Rome show. I refuse to. So if upper management is listening, let's keep it this way. I'd rather listen to Jim Carrey's most annoying sound in the world from Dumb and Dumber than Jim Rome.
Well, I appreciate that, Thomas. Thanks. I'm glad that we compare favorably to the Jim Carrey sound and the national programming. That's nice.
Well, I mean, let's realize we should all try to aspire to be like Jim Carrey in any sort of way.
So, this is true.
With the Tim Tebow thing, I agree with y'all. It is completely classless and unprofessional. But here's a point I like to make, and I was thinking about it. Y'all kept talking about it and almost stealing my thunder, but you never quite got there. Unless something's changed in the past year or two, do you know who the owner of the River Dogs is?
No, is it? We got a text that said Bill Murray. Is Bill Murray, does he own Bill the River Murray? Dogs?
Unless something's changed in the last couple of years, Bill Murray has owned that minor league franchise for a long time. So to me, this has Bill Murray's fingerprints all over it.
Hmm.
Either for a publicity stunt or just being ridiculous. Because, you know, Bill Murray doesn't care.
That's a good point, Thomas. You know, I hadn't thought about that angle of it. Maybe it is just promotion for promotion's sake. And you're right. It's definitely unprofessional, classless. I think you said it very well. But if we are talking about the River Dogs, and that's the point, and it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, then I guess the Jerry Jones, all publicity is good publicity, I guess that mantra is what they're going for here. If that's the case, then I guess they succeeded.
Yeah, because as soon as y'all read that second thing, the whoever's batting, not Tim Tebow, I'm like, that just sounds like Bill Murray, just right there. Just that snippet just by itself. I'm like, that is Bill Murray saying, let's do this.
Very interesting, Thomas.
I appreciate you taking my call, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much. Same to you. That's a really good point that Thomas makes there.
We know Bill Murray does what he wants, right?
He does.
And I'm sure he's just, I don't really know if he is involved in any of these day-to-day operations. I mean, we're not sure. But I think it is an easy association to make that maybe he had something to do with it. I think in the end, look, we can look at it as classless, which I think to a certain extent it was, but it's a minor league baseball team who was in the Washington Post and we're talking about them and other people are talking about them. And that is probably their ultimate goal. And so they achieved their ultimate goal.
Bill Murray, Caddyshack, golf, U.S. Open. Let's talk
Great
about the U.S.
segue.
Open. Thank you. Thank you. We do what we can here on Out of Bounds. Brooks Koepka. I've heard his name pronounced 50 ways. That's as close as I can get, I think, to how it's actually pronounced.
I think I've been saying Koepka.
Koepka. I think everybody said Koepka until this weekend.
The point is, no one really knows.
No one really knows. Even as, you know, we don't know who his girlfriend is. We're not really sure how to pronounce his name. I think that's correct. Anyway, Brooks played the golf course at Erin Hills as well as you can play it. He made three straight birdies on the back nine, closed with a 67. His first major championship. He made over $2 million, Kelly, on this to win this tournament. Wait for it. There we go. Cha-ching. Cash in. Tied Rory McIlroy's record for the lowest score relative to par in a major championship. Or in a U.S. Open, rather. But the story really was not even Brooks. There were a couple of storylines that sort of were pervasive throughout the coverage. The first one was that the golfers complained and then the course was pretty easy. And so there was some backlash on the USGA about maybe did you make the course too simple? And then they spent the entire weekend trying to scramble to get the scores down. Lengthen holes, did they change pin location? They had all those conversations. And people were just very critical of the scoring at the U.S. Open. My opinion, this is just me. I know a lot of people are that they want the, like Augusta is, it's on its own. The Open Championship, that one's pretty good too. That one has its own identity. And the PGA is the PGA. That's the last one. But the U.S. Open is the one it's supposed to be the hardest tournament all year. You're supposed to have thick rough. It's supposed to really penalize you for making mistakes. And the number one criticism was that the golf course was too forgiving. It had the layout of a pretty difficult course, but a lot of the issues with it weren't exactly in play. Here's my theory on that. If you look at the most difficult U.S. Opens in history, and maybe this is something that they should have predicted. You look at the most difficult U.S. Opens that we've seen in history, even in the last 10 years. Weather conditions played a starring role in the difficulty. Rarely do you have a golf course that if the wind is still and the temperatures are fine and there's very little weather issues, and rarely do you have a golf course that is just going to eat you alive if everything around it is perfect. Because if I'm hitting the ball right down the middle, it doesn't matter whether my fairway is as big as this studio or as big as the state of Florida. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hit it down the middle. Maybe the pin locations could have been a little more difficult. The grading of the greens could have been a little more difficult. Maybe some of the bunkers around the green could have been a little, you know, placed a little more particularly. The rough could have been a little bit higher. Whatever the case may be. The fact is that when you play a golf course, particularly in Wisconsin, you expect there to be a little bit of breeze. Sunday, you saw some, and you saw some people play that golf course like dogs. There were people playing at plus 20-something that made the cut.
Do you know who probably thought the golf course wasn't that easy? Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, and Rory McIlroy all missed the cut, you know? So I totally get the argument because it did seem like an easier course. But when you have five of the world's best and many others that I didn't even mention, not even making the cut, I mean, Spieth barely making the cut, it seems like your argument can be kind of flawed in that way.
I would agree with that.
Does that make sense?
I would agree with that. It felt like the weather just made it impossible to have a tough golf course unless you make it unfair.
Right. And you can't control the weather.
You can't control the weather.
Only Roy Philpott can do that.
Remember the U.S. It was definitely sunsplashed in Wisconsin.
It was.
Remember the U.S. Open that Lucas Glover won? I remember this because it happened to coincide with the end of our beach trip, just like this time. And I remember watching the first couple days thinking, it's never going to stop raining. It was pouring down rain. Horrible winds. I mean, you couldn't do it. And Lucas, because he just chose, and I think I'm remembering this right, he just chose not to hit the ball as far. He played it safe. It was just a steady eddy round. That's what you want from a U.S. Open. Maybe if the fairways were a little bit more narrow, maybe if the landing zones are a little different, I get all that. I understand that criticism that you want to see the, in fact, Tommy said that, you want to see the best struggle. Didn't happen this year. I get it.
Well, you did see the best struggle.
Some of the best.
A lot of guys didn't make the cut.
Here's another part of this that I think is very interesting that we just don't address. How do you make these courses tough? We used to call them tiger proofing.
Mm-hmm.
They were hitting, was it a 680, 90, 700 yard par five? I saw driver long iron. They were hitting driver two iron into the green on these 700 yard behemoth holes. When you've got guys carrying the ball 330 yards, what are you supposed to do? Unless you just build a moat around every green, how are you supposed to make people play that? When you've got holes where everybody knows, okay, this bunker's in play in the middle of the fairway, so I'm going to hit iron, then I'm going to hit fairway wood, and I'll be on the green in two.
I think the issue with people having, you know, talking about this course being too easy, I think it's a greater issue. The bigger issue here is, golf fans are a little frustrated with seeing all these quote-unquote regular Joes win majors. You've had seven straight majors where a first-time major winner has won. I mean, think of Sergio, Dustin Johnson, all those guys. And yes, we see DJ as one of the best, and same with Sergio, but when a guy like Brooks Koepka, whatever you want to call him, wins the U.S. Open, I think it's kind of frustrating because you don't have that invincible player anymore like Tiger. And people who we've wanted to be that, Bubba, Rory, Jordan Spieth, have all turned out not to be. And so it's kind of frustrating for the golf fan who wants that greater than everyone else figure, and you're not getting it. You're just getting regular dudes winning these tournaments, and I don't think golf fans really enjoy that. To me, it's a bigger issue. It's more of an indictment of golf in general and what's going on right now on the PGA Tour.
Regardless of whether or not the weather is bad and the course is difficult enough or what have you, but regardless of all that, golf is a very simple game. Now, it's hard to play, but it's simple to understand. If you hit the ball in the fairway and hit the ball in the green, you win. You score.
You got to make putts, though.
You got to make putts. As long as you brought your putter and don't do what Spieth has done so many times and what Ricky Fowler did yesterday where he couldn't make a putt to save his life, if you're hitting every fairway, you're hitting every green, if you're dialed in like that, you're going to win. You're going to score low, you're going to win. That's just the name of the game. If you're not doing those things, you're going to lose. The guys that didn't hit the fairways, that didn't hit the greens, didn't win. Brooks Koepka, I swear, I don't think I ever saw him not hit his second shot out of the fairway. I don't think I ever saw him hit a second shot out of either that first cut or the fescue. Just a masterful round of golf. If every single shot I hit is dead straight, you can't make a golf course that's going to beat me if I'm hitting every fairway. It's not like the guy was erratic off the tee, scrambling, and shot 16 under. He had to hit the ball down every fairway, down the middle. He had to hit every shot on the green without mistakes, and he had to cash in some putts.
Yeah, I think part of the issue here is we don't want to give Koepka credit because we don't see him as one of the best. When in the end, he put together a great round.
He put together a great round, and there's also this element.
Or a great weekend.
What if this current crop of players, as far as they hit it, as athletic as they are, as young as they are, as deep as the talent pool is, what if it's impossible to build a golf course that can break these players? All of them at the same time. Because what we're seeing is, yeah, 31 players under par that broke the all-time record, 1990. What if there's not a way to break this current group of players? What if the talent, the skill, the distance, the accuracy, what if across the board it's
the
good enough that you've got enough players that can beat it every single week?
It's a thought.
I think that's something to consider with this. Hour two is in the books. Hour three coming up next.